This morning I want to concentrate on verse 15, which we read there, and the second half, really, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, that's Hosea, saying, "Out of Egypt I called my son. Out of Egypt I called my son." So, in looking at this verse, I want to do three things. I want to just ask, what happened? What happened? Secondly, what is the Lord teaching us? And thirdly, why does it matter? So three things. What happened? We've just read what happened. What is it? What is the Lord teaching us by what happened? And why or how does it matter to you and to me? So then, first of all, what happened? Well, we read that Herod, this is what I'm interested in, King Herod, who we'll think about on another day, Herod was seeking the young baby Jesus, not to worship him, as he told the wise men, but to destroy him. Herod was seeking to destroy the young child. And therefore, Joseph took Mary and his young son, the baby, and they fled to Egypt by night. That's what happened. And then the text tells us later that King Herod died, and then Joseph was able to return to Israel with the young child and his mother. That's the sequence of events, right? Not much detail, I know, but that's what happened. Herod's out to kill him. Down into Egypt they go. Then Herod dies, and they can come back. And they come back from Egypt. I assume you know the map, but there's Egypt. If you're looking at the map, Egypt's down there and Israel is there. Back they come out of Egypt to Israel, and it turns out to be in Nazareth, because Archelaus was ruling. Now, the question is, that's what happened, but why all this journeying? Why? Why did this have to happen? What's this geography about? And the answer to that, why this journeying, the answer's simple, isn't it? Wasn't it to save the young child's life? Why did Joseph take him to Egypt? Why did they come? Well, why did they take him to Egypt? To save the young child's life. But let me say this morning, that's the first reason, to save the young child's life. But there is a second and a deeper theological reason, if you like. There's a message in the journeying. And that's what Matthew is telling us. It's not just to save the baby's life, but there is a message in this chapter. And the message, the first part of the message that Matthew wants us to pick up, is in verse 15. The message is from God: out of Egypt I called my son. Out of Egypt I called my son. In other words, God is declaring that this child is his son. Now, what Matthew is telling us is this. It's not just that God called him out of Egypt, but this had already been said by the prophet Hosea. And we read it in Hosea chapter 11, verse 1. The same words, "And from Egypt I called my son." Now, Hosea is not thinking, first of all, of Jesus coming out of Egypt. Hosea is thinking back to the exodus of Israel. Okay? If you know the story of Israel, you'll know that there was Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Jacob had his 12 sons, and then they went into Egypt, where they grew into a great nation. And then after that, God brought them out of Egypt. And He said this to Pharaoh. This is in Exodus chapter 4. Listen, he says, "You shall say to Pharaoh, thus says the Lord." This is in the year 1446 or BC. "Thus says the Lord, Israel is my son, my firstborn. So I say to you, let my son go that he may serve you. And if you refuse to let him go, I indeed will kill your son, your firstborn." So you see, the Exodus from Egypt, when God brought his people out of Egypt, the message was, "Let my son go that he may serve me." And Hosea says, remember that? Out of Egypt, God called his son. And Matthew is saying this, understand that what was said about Israel long ago is now being said about Jesus Christ. Okay? What happened to Israel in the year 1446 BC, or thereabout, is now happening to our Lord Jesus Christ when he was born. "Out of Egypt I have called my son." Now, that's what happened, okay? That's how Matthew presents what happened. Secondly, then, what is the Lord teaching us in this? What's the lesson? Well, two parts. The first part of the lesson is very obvious and very straightforward. It is that this baby child Jesus is the Son of God. That's who he is. And so this is the first part of the lesson, that Jesus is God's Son, the Son of God. And you know, don't you, that in the Gospel of Matthew, this message is repeated several times. In chapter 3, verse 17, at his baptism, what was spoken from heaven? "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And then on the Mount of Transfiguration, this is in Matthew 17:5, on the Mount of Transfiguration, the voice from heaven, what does the Lord say? "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. Hear him." And if you know about the Lord's trial and crucifixion, you know the question was put, "Tell us if you are the Son of God." And you know the answer was given. Who gave the answer to that question? The centurion who saw him die and said afterwards, "Truly, this one was the Son of God." Okay? So Matthew, he wants you to be in no doubt about the identity of Jesus. And he's already told us that his name, or they will call him, Emmanuel. God is with us. So Matthew is absolutely emphatic. You know, the Gospel of John is emphatic about this, isn't it? "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and what? And the Word was God." And Matthew is presenting this in his own way. Listen to God. "Out of Egypt I called my son." See Joseph leading Mary and carrying the child out of Egypt. It's the Son of God. There he is, the Son of God. So we get this message. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And he says, "Hear him." But you know, there is more to it than this. And there is richer truth in it than just that lesson. The second part is this. And I want you to think about this. In the journey of Joseph with Mary and the child, in that journey from Egypt to Israel, the Lord is retracing the steps of Israel. Okay? They would have come along that main road, the same path that Israel went. Israel came out of Egypt to... The people of Israel came out of Egypt to the land of Israel. And now our Lord is tracing the same history. Okay? So Israel came out of Egypt. Right? They went into Egypt in the time of Joseph. And they were brought out of Egypt at the time of the Exodus in 1446 BC. Our Lord Jesus was taken into Egypt by Joseph and his mother, and he was called out of Egypt by the Lord when Herod was dead. So what Matthew wants you to see is this. Can you see that the same thing happened to Jesus as happened to Israel before? Can you see that? The same thing. But what Matthew wants you to know eventually is that there is one crucial difference. One crucial difference. Okay? Can you see the pattern? I ask you the question. What's the crucial difference? Same journey, different end result. And Hosea says to you, when Israel came out of Egypt, what did they do? They backslid. Were they faithful to the Lord when they came out? No, they were not. They ran after the Baals. Israel was brought out of Egypt into a history of sin and disobedience. Not so our Lord Jesus Christ. He was brought out of Egypt to a life of perfect obedience. Let me read to you one very important verse in Romans 5, verse 19. Listen to this. As by one man's disobedience, who's that one man's disobedience? Adam. As by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, you and I, were made sinners by Adam. All of us. Many were made sinners, he says. So also, listen, by one man's obedience, many shall be made righteous. Now what's going on here? What's going on here? Jesus is, if you like, reliving the history of his people. Only they got it wrong. He gets it right. I wonder how many people here have said in their own minds, if I had my life over again, things would be different. I wouldn't make that mistake. It would be a different life if I had it over again. But we can't have our life over again, can we? One life, that's all. And the mistakes you make, you've made them. The sins you've committed them. And Israel was the same. It couldn't have its history all over again. And in its history it had buried itself. And Hosea uses that language. It had buried itself in its sins. But now, God is saying to his people, yes, you can have your life over again. Yes, Israel, yes, you can have your history all over again. Do you know how you do that? Jesus Christ will live it for you. You don't have to have a second life because, in our case, the Lord Jesus Christ has already done it. Whereas we wend our way through life and we sin and fall and make fools of ourselves and bring dreadful things upon ourselves, the Lord Jesus Christ obeyed the will of the Father out of a perfect heart with full love and honoured him every breathing moment of his life, down to the cross. It's all summed up in the one word, obedience. Obedience. Out of Egypt, I've called my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. That's the message. That's the message. You know, theologians call this, you ready? Well, you know the word. We sometimes talk about recapping. You know, If I tell you a story, at the end of the story, let me recap. Let me just tell you again. Theologians call the word recapitulation. Okay? Recapitulation. That word means that Jesus Christ is the head of his church. And it means that every member of the church, who are all sinners, who have messed up their lives tragically to the point where they will go to hell unless a remedy is found, right? Their life and their existence is repeated again by their head. By their head. That's what recapitulation means. It means doing it again by our head, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what Matthew is teaching us. Do you realize that the Christian, when he looks at Christ, he says, there is the Son of God. There is the righteous one. There is the one who lived the life that God gave me better than I did. Not only better, but absolute contrast. Whereas I carry through my life all the sins that I've committed, the load builds up on my shoulders, and yet the Lord Jesus Christ lives this life again perfectly, perfectly. And there is a contrast between Jesus and you. A contrast between our Lord and me. A contrast between Christ and his people. There's only one who is righteous. There's only one who has been obedient to the Father. And that is our Lord, Jesus Christ. And we're going to sing, I think we may sing a hymn later, or maybe not. My Saviour's obedience and blood hide all my transgressions from view. Not just his blood, as it were, but his obedience also. What is the message here? I, Israel, you, we fail, we fall, we sin. Jesus has done what we failed to do. Jesus has done it not sinning, not falling, not failing. We are sinners. In God's sight, he is righteous. In God's sight. That's what is hidden in this verse. Out of Egypt, I have called my son. Now, thirdly and finally, let me ask you the question, why does this matter? Right. Why does this matter? What is heaven like? What is heaven like? If I said to you, describe heaven to me in a sentence. Describe heaven to me in a word. How would you describe it? Shall I describe heaven to you today? The one word that describes heaven is holy. Holy. The one word that characterizes heaven is the word holy. What does that mean? It means that it is a place where no sinner and no sin can ever and will ever be admitted. It is holy. We sang at the beginning of this service Psalm 24, and in verse 3, there is a question. The psalmist is asking a question. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may dwell in his presence? There's the question. Who is worthy to live in heaven? That's the question. Who is worthy to live in heaven? And the Apostle John, where he's given a vision of heaven, he says, look, he says, I saw, this is what he says, I saw what? The holy city descending out of heaven from God. The holy city. And John says about this holy city, there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie. But only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, he says, outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexual immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. What is John telling you? He's giving you a catalogue of some of the sins of the human race. But the key word is outside, outside. Look, by no means shall anything that defiles enter it. You see, the word that characterizes heaven, if you like, is the holy city. The holy city. And what that means is that Adam, the first, Israel, the people of God of old, you and I, it means that we are not able to go into that holy city. We're not. You heard what Isaiah said at the beginning of the service. When he saw the Lord, holy, 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 what did he say? I am undone, for I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. The word undone means destroyed. The holiness of God would have destroyed his servant, Isaiah. But the message of Matthew is this. But Christ is worthy. He is worthy. And later, Matthew will tell you that when the Lord Jesus Christ breathed his last at Calvary on that cross, he says, do you know the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom? I don't know how that happened, but I know no man did it. Whether it was by divine fiat or an angel, the veil of the temple is the veil that prevented anyone, except the high priest once a year, not without blood, it prevented men from access into the holy presence of God. But the message of Matthew is this, that the Lord Jesus Christ was worthy to enter heaven from the beginning, and he was worthy to enter heaven at the end. It says in Hebrews 4, we have a great high priest, listen, who has passed through the heavens. This is what is true about Jesus. And the writer of Hebrews goes on to say, do you know, the Lord Jesus Christ has opened for us a new and living way through the veil into the holiest presence of God. The message of Scripture is that we are all vile in God's eyes. And we have offended him, and he is offended. And he banishes those who so assault his holiness. But by the obedience of Jesus Christ, by faith in him, you who are vile and I who am vile are made righteous in the sight of God through Jesus Christ, his Son. And so, let me come to a close this sermon with a question. The question is, are you right in the sight of God? Are you ready to die? Are you ready to meet the Holy God? You're not ready unless you are found in Christ by faith. Only his obedience is good enough. Only if you are hid in the one he calls my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, then you are ready. In Christ you are ready to die. In Christ, amazingly, I almost say unbelievably, we are ready to face the holy God, the holiness of God. Only in Christ. No other way. Only in Christ. Amen.